Unless you see God in your daily life, sooner or later, you're going to become unhappy. We'll talk about this on today's episode of the Gary Zimek Show. Please stay tuned. It's coming right up. Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. On today's show, we will talk about the fact that unless we learn to see God in our daily lives, we will eventually become unhappy. This will be coming from the book, My Daily Bread. We do this feature on the program every Wednesday. We'll do that in the second part of today's show. The first part, we'll look at the Mass readings for the 15th week in Ordinary Time. How are you today? Doing okay? Boy, it was a rainy day here. We had some thunderstorms. Right now, I'm looking outside. It's pretty clear out. I hope you're doing well. Hope the weather is good in your area. And again, you know, I say this a lot, but I really mean it. It's such a pleasure to join you each night on the program. I'm a bit frazzled today. I have to be honest. I'm a bit frazzled trying to get some things done. Typically, I do an appearance once a month on Relevant Radio. I do an appearance, and it's on the, I forget what it is, the third Monday of the month. I think it's the third Monday of the month. But I forgot that for the month of July, we had to shift things around, and it changed to Thursday, which happens to be tomorrow. It kind of caught me by surprise. I thought I was going to be on next Monday. I'm on tomorrow. So as a result, I mean, I know you don't need to know this, but I'm just letting you know why I'm frazzled. I've got to write a blog post. I wanted to blog about something and then talk about it on the air tonight. So I'm halfway through the blog post, but I wanted to take time out to do the program. So if you don't mind, I don't know how long I'll be working on this blog post for tomorrow's radio interference. You never know that I do a lot of radio for tomorrow's radio appearance. So if you wouldn't mind saying a prayer that I can get the post done and that I do good on the radio tomorrow, that would be very much appreciated. I will be on morning air on Relevant Radio tomorrow morning. That's Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. And we're going to talk about the secret to happiness. How's that sound for a topic? This is something that I have been thinking about. The secret is relatively simple, believe it or not, and we're going to try to fit that into the 20-minute segment or however long it is. So tomorrow morning, Relevant Radio, 7 a.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online to Relevant Radio online. I think it's relevantradio.org. Or you can listen if you're in the Relevant Radio area, and they have stations spread throughout the U.S., you can listen over the air. So whatever works best for you. It was great being on the Sunrise Morning Show today. Matt Swaim was out sick, so please say a prayer for Matt. And I got to do the interview with Anna Mitchell, as we did last week, and I thought it was a good one. We talked about, let me get you the verse. The verse is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans. I want to read this to you because I think it's a good one. And it really is appropriate, and I'll tell you why. It's Romans 5, I believe. Romans chapter 5. You can see sometimes I fly by the seat of my pants. I'm not exactly prepared, right? You know what I'm saying? Not exactly prepared. You know what? I can't. Where is it? Where are we? Let's see. Romans, just bear with me. I can't believe I can't find this. Oh, no, I know what it is. It's Romans 15. Yes, Romans 15, chapter 4, verse 4, Romans 15, 4. St. Paul says this, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The encouragement of the Scriptures. We can obtain hope by reading sacred scripture. And that is why, and this is what I told Anna today, that's why I do the daily mass readings on the program every day, because God speaks to us through the daily mass readings. So I would strongly recommend that you read your Bible every day. And the easiest thing to do is to look at the daily mass readings. It's a great place to start, especially if you're not familiar with scripture. So anyway, that's what I talked about. And it was a good segment, and I really do believe that, and that's why we're going to do the mass readings on the program today. Boy, I got a lot of things going on. I also taped it in like a talk for an online Catholic Moms Conference that's going to be airing next year. I'll keep you posted on that. I had people come in my house, and we actually filmed it. We had lighting. We had video cameras. It was kind of cool today. So it's been a bit of a hectic day, and my head is still spinning because I've got a lot to get done before the Catholic Writers Guild appearance next week at the CMN, the Catholic Marketing Network trade show. And then after that, I'm off to Chicago and making plans to go to EWTN next month. A lot of craziness, but thank God it's all good. And I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for all of your support. And I thank you for listening to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we ask for your blessing on this program tonight. We thank you for the many gifts that you have given to us and you continue to give to us. We especially are grateful for the gift of a new day. We ask you, Father, to help us to remain close to you, to always do your will, to always be an example to others. We ask you, Father, to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are suffering from doubt or despair, those who are dealing with addiction. We also ask, Father, that you be with those who are struggling financially, those who are maybe unemployed or underemployed. And Father, we present to you our own personal intentions, our needs, our desires. We give them to you now. We ask you to handle them in the best way possible. And we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Mother Mary, please pray for us and always help us to remain close to Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, let's get started with the program. Today's beverage du jour. I'm going to do a sip test first, and then you can see if you can figure it out. All right, any ideas? If you said 8 o'clock decaf coffee, you are correct. I don't know if you're familiar. I think this might be just an East Coast thing. But years ago, there was a grocery chain called A&P. This was, I guess they were throughout the East Coast, in the Philadelphia, New York area. And they had this coffee, which was called 8 o'clock coffee. I don't know how widespread the distribution is, but it's something that has outlived the store. It's sold now, and it's delicious coffee. Well, I've got some 8 o'clock decaf coffee right now. That's what I'm drinking. My buddy Mike, I don't know, Mike, if you're still drinking that, but in the past, I know that when I had this on the program, you mentioned that you were having it too. So that's what we're drinking, some 8 o'clock decaf. And I'm doing the decaf today because it's a little late and I don't want to take a chance that I won't sleep, because you all know the story. I got to get up early for Relevant Radio tomorrow. So, boy, I tell you a lot, don't I? I share a lot of these personal details, some of which you might not care about. But, hey, I want you to know me. I want you to know we're friends. I'm going to share whatever I can with you on the program. And the beverage du jour feature, sometimes I think that's the most popular feature I do on this program. I get a lot of comments about that. All right, let's get to some really important stuff. The Mass readings for Wednesday of the 15th week in Ordinary Time. Today, the first reading comes from the book of Exodus. Once again, we're following the continuing story of Moses. Something really special is about to happen to our buddy Moses today. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your father," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The cry of the children of Israel has reached me, and I have truly noted that the Egyptians are oppressing them. Come now, I will send you to Pharaoh to lead my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He answered, "I will be with you, and this shall be your proof that it is I who have sent you. When you bring my people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain." Now, something really amazing is happening here. God has selected Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Now, remember, they've been in slavery for close to 400 years at this point. And this is salvation history unfolding. And we've talked about this before. God is certainly not in a hurry. He has his own time frame. He's got his own schedule that he uses to do things. And he's got a plan. His plan doesn't always make sense when we look at that plan. And I think when we look at the events in our own lives, there are many things that just don't seem to make sense. And that's a problem for a lot of us. We get frazzled when things don't make sense, and we start to question, what are you doing, God? Why are you know? And we, instead of giving him the benefit of the doubt, we question and we get frustrated. There are a lot of things in our lives that absolutely don't make sense. But he's got a master plan. He's got the master plan. And Moses, as many of us do, when we feel God's calling us to do something, what's the first thing we say? Well, I'm not qualified. As if we're the ones who have to do all the work. You know, that's a sign of pride, even though it doesn't seem like it. It seems like we're being humble, but we're not. When we feel that God's asking us to do something, and we say, well, I can't do that, then we're not trusting in his providence, in his power. That doesn't mean that you are supposed to do things that you are absolutely, totally unqualified to do. We all have certain skills. And God's not asking us to do things that are completely out of the realm of possibility. I'm not a great singer. He's not asking me to become a famous singer. That's not going to work. But I am able to put two words together every now and then and give a talk. So I've been relatively successful as a speaker because he's doing the work for me. But I could easily say, well, I'm not good enough. And look, there are many days when I get done a talk or when I get done a radio show and I say, I didn't do a good job. And that's my pride getting in the way. And maybe sometimes I don't do a good job, but that's you can be the judge of that. But you know what I'm saying? Seriously, we always tend to doubt that we're capable of doing anything, even if we have the skills and talents necessary. Be careful about that, because oftentimes God calls us to do things that we might think we're not all that good at, but we're actually better at it than we think. That was not a very good sentence from somebody who writes, but you get the point. God calls us to do some things that seem a little uncomfortable to us, but we should try them if we repeatedly feel that call and see what happens. You may be surprised. I never thought I would be writing and doing public speaking for a living. They are two things that I never really gravitated toward throughout my life. I hated public speaking, and I don't particularly remember liking to write either. So these are some things that we need to consider. Moses is going to be successful. And why is he going to be successful? Because the Lord is with him. The psalm today, the Lord is kind and merciful. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. The Lord is kind and merciful. And we got to remember that mercy that the Lord shows on us constantly. He's very merciful. He's very kind. He loves you unconditionally. And no matter how badly we may mess up, he can always fix our mess ups. That's a great thing. And don't ever forget that. Sometimes we have to give it a try. And what do? We are often afraid to try because we think, well, what if I do the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? What's going to happen then? When that happens, we're not trusting God. And really, our pride's getting in the way. So we want to be careful that our pride doesn't stop us from doing God's will. He can do great things in our lives if we let him. Okay? The gospel, Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. Great message here. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." Childlike. Are you childlike? Probably not. It's hard to be childlike once you get to a certain age, isn't it? Because we get a little cynical, we get a little proud, we start to question. And the Lord is not asking us to be unrealistic. He's not asking us to be irresponsible. What he's asking is for us to trust him. What he's asking is for us to accept his word as being true. And honestly, if you look back throughout history, if you look at what has happened with the promise of the Messiah, if you look at how salvation history unfolded and how God did take care of his people, and he did lead them out of slavery, and he did establish the promised land. If we look back at that, and that's why these Old Testament readings are important, we realize that God keeps his promises. He's not going to promise something and not follow through. If he promises to you and I that he will always be with us until the end of time, he means it. If he promises, as he did through the words of St. Paul in the first letter to the Corinthians, that we will never be tempted beyond our ability to resist, then he means it. If Jesus said that he's promising we can live with him forever in heaven if we follow his will and if we trust in him, then he means it. We will be able to live with him forever in heaven. But we need to believe that he's good for his word. And he really is good for his word. And honestly, if we do look back, we're going to see so many examples of him coming through for his people. The story of Moses is a great example of that. Moses didn't think he was qualified, and he hung in there, though. Moses had his ups and downs, but eventually he hung in there. He went along with God's plan, and the Lord did come through. The Lord was incredibly patient with Moses, and we'll see that as the readings unfold throughout the week. But God did accomplish what he promised, despite some pretty serious odds against Moses being able to succeed, starting with the fact that Moses had a speech impediment and dealing with Pharaoh, who was incredibly stubborn. But somehow it worked. It worked because the Lord is all-powerful. The Lord is greater than our problems. The Lord is willing to help us. The Lord can bring us his peace even in the midst of turmoil. But do you believe him? It's a challenge, isn't it? Do you know that Jesus told St. Faustina when he appeared to her in 1931 in Krakow, Poland, he told her that the greatest obstacles to holiness are, and you're not going to believe what they are doubt, I'm sorry, are discouragement and anxiety. Do you believe that? The greatest obstacles to holiness are discouragement and anxiety. Both of these things arise when we don't trust in God's providence. I become anxious. I become discouraged. You know, we're promised heaven. All we have to do is cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us. We are promised heaven. But yet we begin to panic. We begin to become overwhelmed by problems in this life that won't last. All the problems we experience in this life are temporary. It's difficult to see that, though, you know? It's difficult to see that. But that's the way that we're going to be able to experience peace, that and staying close to the Lord. But we've got to convince ourselves, too. We've got to do some of the work as well. We've got to fill our minds with good thoughts, true thoughts, such as, all of our problems are temporary, such as God always keeps his promises, such as we'll never be tested beyond our ability to resist, or be tempted, we'll never be tempted beyond our ability to resist. And temptation, a big temptation, is the temptation to start worrying. That's a huge temptation. We're never going to be given more than we can handle in life. Please don't ever forget that. God will be there. He is there with you. So whatever you may be going through, whatever you'll be facing in life, it's part of the plan. It's part of the plan to get you to heaven. You might not understand it because we often don't understand the way God works. He chooses people that are very unlikely. And throughout history, he's done that. He's chosen some very unlikely people to do his work. He doesn't choose the superstars. He chooses people that say yes. And when they say yes, he does great things through them. Be childlike. Trust. Trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. Be willing to go along with what he tells you. Resist the urge to become cynical and say, I know this will never work. That's not childlike. Be childlike and you will get to heaven. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. All right, now let's go to the second part of the show. When we look at the book, My Daily Bread, which is written by Father Anthony Payone. He's a Jesuit priest. It was written in 1954. The book is still available. You can get it at the EWTN Religious Catalog, among other places. I think Tan Books now publishes it. Originally, it was put out by the Confraternity of the Precious Blood in Brooklyn, New York. And this is a great little book. It's inexpensive, it's compact, but it is powerful. Today we're going to look at Chapter 5, Looking Away from God. And the way the book works is we have a brief reflection, as if coming from Christ, and then we have something to think about, and we end with a prayer. Looking away from God. Picture Christ speaking these words to you. My child, the person who esteems anything for itself alone, forgetting my goodness and love, will always be small and inferior, like the things which he values. Whatever does not help you to please me has no true value in your life. You should therefore consider it as nothing. So here the Lord is cautioning us, and this is something that is, it's not a secret. We've heard this before. He's cautioning us to avoid loving things just for the sake of them being things. In other words, we want to, it doesn't mean we can't have possessions. That's not what this means. We can't value things above God. And if things, material possessions, even other people start getting in the way of a relationship with God, we've got to reprioritize, or we've got to prioritize. We've got to put things in their proper order. Unless you see me in your daily life, you will sooner or later become discontented wherever you are and wherever you turn. And I think that's a point that I try to make on this program. It's something that I'm trying to implement in my own life. And that's that we need to see the Lord every day. We need to look for him in the circumstances of life. And it's very easy to miss him. Because unless you make a conscious effort, and you know, we have to do something. We can't just let God reveal himself to us throughout the day. He doesn't work that way. We need to look for him. He doesn't just appear like he did to Moses in the burning bush. That generally doesn't happen. We got to find a way to look for him in what is often the mundane circumstances of our lives. We're just plodding along, doing our work, whatever it may be. Things might seem boring, but we're called to look for the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself becoming miserable. You'll just never experience happiness. If any man tries to enjoy anything as though it were his alone, he will not have a lasting joy nor true freedom. In many ways, he will find himself tied down and shut off from me. He who thinks more of earthly things than he does of me will find nothing but insecurity, trouble, and sorrow. He may not realize it, but he is planning his own destruction. So, you're listening to this show. you're obviously not thinking of earthly things all the time. Some people do. They bury themselves in possessions. They constantly watch TV. They're constantly on the internet. They're listening to recordings, whatever it may be. They're doing anything to distract themselves from spending time with the Lord. A lot of people, and this is where you and I come in, a lot of people don't even know that it's possible to have a personal relationship with the Lord. You know better, so you can help to tell them this. We all have to do this together. We're all called to do the Lord's work. Some people have no idea that they can have consolation and peace in a relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't know it. And some of those people might be the people next to you at church. Believe it or not, I know for years I didn't understand that this was possible. And I thought that all I had to do was continue to buy things and drink and find all kinds of things to take my mind off of my problems. That's not the way we're supposed to be, and that's not going to bring us lasting peace. Lasting peace comes through the Lord. Be it ever so little, if anything is loved and valued more than it deserves, it holds you back from me, the highest good, and it weakens your soul. The man who looks only for worldly satisfactions becomes blind to the loving presence of his Creator. You don't want to find all of your comfort in worldly things. And I know I had a problem with this in the past. Buying things was the way to make myself feel good. But unfortunately, you can only buy so many things, and that feeling of happiness only lasts so long. So we want to find the time to focus on the Lord, to spend time with the Lord every day, and to see Him in the events of our daily life. You read the scriptures. You pray when you first wake up before you go to bed, and spend some time throughout the day praying. You do that, and you're off to a good start. And eventually, that relationship with the Lord will grow, and you let Him speak to you through the pages of Scripture. Again, that's why we do it on the show here. Okay, something to think about. One who seeks only pleasure, ease, honor, or profit is a worldling. That is, he lives only for this life. Gradually, he becomes a slave of his earthly desires so that he can't even think of God. He will believe in heaven too late when he finds its gates forever closed to him. Tough talk, right? But something to think about. You never know when your last day on this earth will be. You have to be ready. So make sure you work on that relationship with the Lord. Make sure you're speaking to Him every day. And I'll tell you, you're listening to this show, and I'm really not kidding about that. I get that. If you're listening to this show, it's not because you don't have anything better to do. It's because you want to grow closer to the Lord. And I'm honored that you choose this show to listen to. That's why I take it really seriously, and I want to keep doing this program to help you with that. Because I want to grow closer to Christ too, and a lot of what I present on this program is helping me to do that. All right, let's end with the prayer. My God, I rely on your assistance to keep myself free from the slavery of earthly attractions. I shall use my possessions and daily enjoyments as things which you have lent to me. May I never offend you with these gifts of yours. As today's enjoyments passed away, as yesterday's enjoyments passed away, so too will those of today. I want to live for the greatest good, for you, my God and my all. You alone are best and highest. Only you can satisfy my heart's longings forever. Amen. Good stuff, isn't it? I love this little book. It's very, very powerful. Tomorrow on the show, we'll continue our series, What Does God Want Me to Do? Friday, we'll round out the week with The Hidden Power of Kindness, and we'll look at Sunday's Mass reading. So we got lots of good stuff coming up. Remember, total consecration, once again, God willing, will begin in September. And also, I want to call attention. My friend and colleague, Hector Molina, is having some difficulties right now. You may know Hector. His wife is suffering from stage 2 cancer. She has just given birth to their 6th child. There is a GoFundMe account set up by Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Please keep Hector and his wife in your prayers, and if you are able to contribute, you can find information on my Facebook. If you're Facebook friends with me, you can find it there. You'll see a link to the GoFundMe account. If you need it, you can just email me at gary@followingthetruth.com, and I can send you a link as well. But please, if you're able to help Hector out there, really struggling financially, at the moment. Please pray and please do what you can. God bless you. God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Take care.